Arthur, you might need to repeat everybody's so okay. People.
Okay, that's okay.
Maybe like cross cultural?
Cross cultural? Okay. Okay, that's what I think of. Okay. Okay. Pastor Alex. What's the question again? What do you think of when I say the word mission?
Oh, God's glory.
Okay, God's glory. Okay. Not for those who just walked in. Nancy?
Yeah, I kind of think of along the line of the jungles and spears.
Okay, spears. Okay. Brian? Probably Mexico. Okay.
That's cool. That's so many people think Mexico. That's sweet.
Good.
We are. We do plan to do Mexico, right, this year, Pastor James?
This year?
Yeah. I mean, next year, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay.
And further, yes. You want to ask some of the online people?
Oh, sorry.
What
do you think of missions? What pops into your mind?
China?
Okay. I see teams of people going out. Teams of people going out. Okay.
Next slide.
Making Jesus known. Okay. They won't.
Gospel.
Right. Done it.
Okay, so let's go online. Jesse and Jacqueline. What do you guys think? Something that comes to mind?
Just a blessing for everyone, a blessing for those who hear the gospel, and also just an amazing blessing for us to be able to serve. I just, every time we do missions, I feel just as blessed as the people that we bless. So that's what comes to mind for me. Jacqueline said service.
Say that again?
Jacqueline said service. Is the one word that comes to her mind.
Okay. Janet?
When I think of missions, I think of taking time out from your present surrounding and going somewhere to share the gospel and meeting the people there to share gospel.
Empty camp.
You're on mute,
Andy. Let me unmute her.
A test going out to reach and share the gospel.
Scott?
Similar, I would say that really think of missions as being person, people that want to serve God in many other countries. Or could be domestically serving other countries around the world.
Okay. I think you're on mute.
Similar, but I think a mission, I'm not confined by location, because sometimes I think mission can be done, sometimes just from your surrounding, from where you are, and every opportunities can be a mission, like to share.
Okay.
So I think, yeah.
Great. Donna? Wait,
Donna? Oh, sorry. I didn't hear. I was just thinking about for one, like Matthew 28. So basically, it's a great commission and ask us to go to make disciples of all nations. And it's as everyone said, it may not be, you know, a specific place, but to meet and serve people and to spread the good news.
Great. Eric?
Just like everybody else so far, but for me, it's more like going out and spreading the word of God.
Okay.
I think of the word sacrifice.
Sacrifice. And is it Qian? Okay, I'm still gonna call on you even if you're
busy off.
So
okay, it's like let's go out into the world and surprise the face to the world.
Yeah. That's great. Is that
just to carry out the great commission from God, doing what God meant us to do.
Love people, but these people had an intention of their life Like everything was geared toward reaching people who did not know Jesus, okay? And it's all over the world, right? And so like, I was like pretty awed by that when I saw that, right? And they would talk to me and like, I was like, we would have lots of different conversations, right? And that's kind of where it piqued my interest. But I think in a lot of my life in that time, I was not quite ready for that because there were a lot of barriers in my life. So, you know, at that time, Grace, we were living in Boston, but we wanted to move back. So she wanted to move back to Southern California. Our parents were here, our sisters were here. You know, we had young kids. And so naturally she wanted to come back, right? But for me, I didn't want to come back. Okay? What kept me in Boston was my job. Like, I really loved my job. Like, I was doing well, I was making lots of money, I was like teaching, you know, I was running a course at Harvard, and I was like getting involved there, I was doing research, and like, I didn't want to let that go, okay? So for many years, I just like, no, let's not go back, you know, like, I even bought her like a big house, just to like, you know, like a house that we had meetings at, you know, but
just for meetings.
Just for meetings, you know, but you know, I think in that time, I didn't realize at that time, but those things were like, were basically idols in my heart. Like, and it wasn't until like, after that, I started thinking and praying, and I realized like, no, this is actually hurting my family. Like, I knew that they wanted to go back with the grandparents and the family, and I was keeping them. And so as I began to pray, I felt like God was saying, no, you need to give that up. So you need to give those things up. And you don't really know like how much a hold these things have on your heart until you try to let it go. Mm-hmm. But I think God worked in my heart. And one day I said, Grace, okay, I'm ready to look for a job in some hospital. Okay. And so I was thinking in my mind, okay, well, take like maybe 6 months to find a job, maybe a year. Maybe I don't find a job, I can say, you know. And so the first place I called, the person says, hey, we just opened up a spot for your position. Come next week, fly over, interview. And within 2 weeks, I had a job in Southern California, right? Like much faster than I had envisioned. So, you know, we moved back. It took a few months to move back. And when we moved back, the people at OMF connected me with the OMF people here. And I was just talking with them, sharing with them, and like sharing what God was doing in my heart. Because at that time I was like, okay, God, I gave this up. Now what? Like, what you would have us do, have me do, right? And so, but I didn't know what that was, right? And so I started sharing with people at OMF, and you know, they started kind of meeting with me and talking with me, and like they shared their vision of what their lives were about, right? And this person, pretty good person, was really on church mobilization, wanting the church, their vision was that this is not a task just for people who are interested in traveling, in missions, okay? These are people, this is the task of the whole church. Okay? And once I heard that, I began to understand, and they fed me like books and like started reading books. I started going to conferences. I started talking with missionaries. Like I started learning myself, and you know, I was sharing with my pastor at the time, and like this is like a budding interest. And so he, like one of our first lunch meetings, I remember, and like 2 days later, he called me. He says like, "Hey, I was praying for you, and I just found out that that our church, there's a group of people who wanted to, who had interest in missions, they're meeting tomorrow." Like, this is a pretty new church. It was like 5 years old. We never had a missions committee or anyone. Would you want to join that? Okay, I said, okay, yeah, I'll check it out. And so I go and I check it out. There's about a group of like 8 to 10 people. And we just started talking about missions. And of course, we didn't know what we were doing. But I think we got the idea that this church, that the missions was for church, and we wanted to promote that for all of the church, right? And so we started doing lots of stuff. We started sending people on short-term teams. Like we used to send about like over 100 people on short-term teams every year. We would like, not just sending people, but like training the leaders, and then we would mentor the young men and the young women. And like it became a life process. And I want to share that because I feel like it kind of goes against the misconceptions I talked about earlier, right? Like only super Christians can be involved in mission. I was not a super Christian. Like these missionaries who would give up their lives and the family to go, those were the super Christians, right? And I thought, okay, well, also, who am I? Like, I'm just here, like, me and wife and kids, and like, you know, we weren't going anywhere. How can we be involved in missions? Okay? But I realized, like, no, there's so much for us to do here as a church, okay? even if we're not going. Okay? So the structure of this class is that we're going to talk about applications, okay? And so I'm going to be teaching every other week, okay? And Alex and Pastor Alex and Frank will be teaching the other 2 weeks. Their focus will be more on diving deep into the Bible, on like, what does the Bible say about missions, okay? Because we realize it's not just missions, this is God's heart, okay? And so they'll be, I appreciate them for looking into that even deeper. Okay, and my focus will be on the weeks I teach on the application. How do we bring this about? How do we apply this to our lives? Okay, so not to say that I'm not going to talk about the Bible, I will. And not to say that Frank and Alex, they're not going to talk about applications, they will as well. I just want to share
their focus. They won't.
Okay. Great. So right now I want to start with the Bible. Okay, so
does Tim have his hand up? Is that a question or is that like
a mouse?
Oh, that's a mouse. I was like, oh, someone wrote his hand.
Okay. Yeah, please feel the stop. And this part of the Bible we're gonna look at, but if you have questions, like just shout it out, unmute yourself. Okay. So let's look, let me ask you guys, what was God's first commandment to us? What was God's first commandment to us? Anyone know?
Love God with all your heart.
Okay. So that may be God's greatest commandment to us, but what was his first commandment? Think all the way back to Genesis.
You guys could open your book. Uh-huh.
Okay. Not quite. You're close.
Elise said something.
Okay. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so let's look at that verse. Okay, this is all the way Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Okay, so can someone read Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 through 30? Who has it?
And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed as on the face of all the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit. Ye shall have them for food. And to every beast of the field, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so.
Great. So I want to emphasize verse 28, chapter 1, verse 28. It says, God blessed them, okay, this is Adam and Eve, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, okay? And I want to kind of point to this, fill the earth, okay, commandment, because this is God's first thing that he says after he's created Adam and Eve. He says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Okay? So this is God's intention, that God's intention was never for Adam and Eve to stay in the Garden of Eden, right? Because think about this, okay? Was this before the fall or after the fall? Before the fall, right? The fall, this, where Adam and Eve sinned, this is his original intention, even before the fall, okay? He says, no, go out to the earth, fill the earth, subdue it, okay? So why do you think God has that commandment? Why does he want us to go out, fill the earth, or even to Adam and Eve?
Because
Just any thoughts? I don't really have an answer. What can you imagine? And of course, online, just unmute yourself.
Well, I feel, I'm sure we don't feel we're equal to God, but God gave us that ability. God views us as his partner. So he wants us to do what he would do.
Good. Any other thoughts? Why would God want us to even go outside of the garden?
I never thought of this until you asked, but maybe you think God made them that way? This is part of their function.
Okay.
It was God making man so they can fail.
Okay. Good. And what did Adam and Eve do when they were even in the garden of Eden?
They, I don't think they were doing anything.
Okay.
I mean, when God made them, they were, you know, looking at what God has made, appreciating the creation, learning, naming the animals,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Then God says, be fruitful and multiply. I go out and be satisfied and full.
Okay.
Going out.
Good. And so maybe that's what God wanted to just carry out even outside of the garden. Right, the things that Adam and Eve were doing to carry that outside.
Right. Yeah. And they were going to be the agents to replicate whatever was in the garden. Right?
Good. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of want to add to that. I think with the earth, with the creation of the entire earth and universe, God said it was good. So it was already good. And I think a part of that is also, you know, it's kind of hard to understand, but like God wanted us to enjoy it in that aspect too, in all its goodness, and that type of relationship that God had already created, right? For the people, obviously, but it was already good. Not just Eden, but the entire earth was good in all its creation, right? So
what you said was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's also for our blessing, for our benefit, right? God created not just the garden, I'm just repeating what Kenzie said, but the whole earth, right? And so maybe going out is also a blessing for us, right? Or for us to experience God's goodness in the whole earth.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, like, you know, I really love what Nancy said because think about the way that God made us, and we take pleasure, we enjoy, right? We enjoy what we see, right? Certain things captivate people. That's why our artists see a sunset. We want to take a photo. We want to paint it. We see a flower. We see a mountain. We see a stream, and we love it. God gave us a nose to smell things, and we enjoy the smell of like fruit opened up and the smell of fresh grass and dew in the morning. We love the smell of flowers and we hear all these things. And I think to just leapfrog on Nancy as well, I think there's a big element where it's almost understated, but everything is, if we are the highest of God's creation in a sense, he wants us to enjoy all that he has made. So I definitely see that there, right? And I love that. I think that's a part of our life. Second is that in the verse that Elise brought up, right? And that's in chapter 2, right? So it says, be fruitful and multiply. And when Frank was saying, and then you name the animals, right? You know, what he actually told them was be fruitful and multiply. And subdue, there's this word like subdue, like so you're kind of putting to order stuff, you're keeping things in order, and then to have dominion over them. So that word dominion, right, is like that's kingdom language. right? That's a concept where we were made to rule over God's creation, working with God together to rule over everything. So I think there's a concept of that too. So there's enjoying, and then there's work, right? But it's like good work, right? So you love your job, and you're like wrestling with the animal. Yeah, like I always been wrestling. I can't wait to wrestle with bears and tigers and like not drown, but like twist around in the water with alligators. I look forward to that. And so I think there's an element where you're playing, but you're keeping things in order. And we're like kingdom rulers together. So yeah,
Great. So let's keep on going. Okay. So let's look at what happened after the fall. Okay. So is this true after the fall? So can we all turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And whoever has it, can you read it? Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 and 2.
Yeah. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast on the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered.
So this is after the flood. So after God's intention, God's plan, or let's say human had become so sinful to such a degree that he wiped out the human population except for 8 people in Noah's ark, right? And so this is after Noah's family has come through that. And what does he say to them again? Basically the same thing. Be fruitful, fill the earth, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, right? So we can see here that God's intention, his purpose, did not change, right? Even with the whole world going after or going against him, right? So his intention is still also, and he charges these 8 people to fill the earth, okay? Going back to his original purpose, okay? So let's look at even further, okay? Let's look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 4 through 9. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4 through 9. Okay. So I won't have you read it right now. This is the story of the Tower of Babel, okay? And so before we read it, actually, can a few people tell me what they think the sin of the Tower of Babel was? Like, what was their sin? What did they do wrong? Why did God have to confuse their language? What was at the heart of what they did? Yes, right.
God told them to scatter. Stay in one place.
Okay, good. So you got that right away. And most people, when people think about the Tower of Babel, they think that the sin is like building up this big tower, right, and like the pride of reaching up to heaven by themselves, right, and certainly that's in there, okay, I won't read it again, okay, but what Ryan brought it out is that they said that, let's read it, okay, so Genesis chapter 11, verse 4 through 9, can someone read that for us? Genesis chapter 11, 4 through 9.
Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth.
Great. Thank you, Chris. So the word here I want us to focus on, I think Beck said in her version was dispelled. Okay. Mine says scattered. But there's the idea that they did not want to be scattered. That was one of their fears. They didn't want to be scattered throughout the earth, right? But that was God's intention. God wanted them to fill the earth, right? To fill the earth, you have to be scattered, right? Or go to different places, right? And so I want us to think about that. How does this apply for us? Okay. When we think about the church, okay, do we have, I don't think we have to answer this here. We'll discuss it in weeks to come. But does the church have a tendency to want to stay put? Okay. Now, I'm not saying anything against the church in the sense that there should be a safe place for church, for Christians to meet and fellowship and encourage one another. I'm not saying we shouldn't, okay? Those are good things. Okay. But is the focus of the church only just for the believers, right? Or are we also going out and fulfilling God's commandment to fill the earth? Okay? And, you know, we're not physically filling the earth, right? Because in every part of the world, there's people there, right? But we know that every part of the world does not have Christians or people who know Jesus, right? So I wanted to see one more verse is, does this apply for us still today? Okay. And I want us to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And so, Paul, generally, we looked at this verse. But if someone can read Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
So when this is Jesus, this is one of the final things he says to his disciples, right? You will be my witnesses in where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Right. And so we can see that God's purpose is still not changed, right? It's still wanting to go up, okay? And so we talk about this in what is Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem is the city where you are in, okay? The city where disciples were in physically now, right? So for us, it's where we are now, like our schools, our workplaces, our families, neighborhoods. This is where we don't have, this is where we live. Okay, that's Jerusalem. What is Judea? Okay, Judea was kind of like a state within Israel. You know, Jerusalem is a city. Judea is like a province, a region. Okay, so for us, that's kind of like maybe California or a country, like something that, yes, we live in there, but it actually takes effort because normally we don't drive around California every day, right? We don't go. You know, it takes effort to reach that. It's a bigger, geographically bigger area, right? Samaria. Samaria was a region in Israel that contained people that the Jewish people did not like. They were like half-breeds or mixed with Jewish and non-Jewish people. And so the Jewish people did not want to associate with these people. Okay? You would know the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, right? Jews did not associate with Samaritans, right? Even though it was close by, right? So Samaria for us, okay, may be somewhere close by, but it's with people that we have a barrier with, okay? Whether it's socioeconomically or culturally or language barrier. So this may be like Mexico that some of you brought up, like it's close by, but it's different, right? Language, culture, everything's different, right? But it doesn't, actually in Kaohsiung and Daegu, people said like homeless people. Okay, we have homeless people here, but there it's a barrier to us because it's not people that we normally talk with and interact with. But, so there's a geographic kind of spreading out, but there's also a ethnic or cultural or social economic barriers that it's going down. Okay? And so the to the ends of the earth, that's kind of self-explanatory. It's like moving out, filling the whole earth, right? So there's that principle of moving further and further away from kind of your comfort zone or where you live. Okay? So that's kind of what I want to cover for the Bible part of it.
Hey, Arthur, can I?
Yes.
Just thinking about like what you talked about, I think it's really fascinating that, I mean, when we looked at the Genesis chapter 11 passage on the Tower of Babel, and, you know, I mean, we jumped into the church real quickly, right? Like, does a church have the tendency to not go out, right, and stay in? And you said it's good because we need a place to worship and to you know, build up one another, right? But before we jump into the church, I thought it was interesting when you brought us through the text, the NIV version that you have, right? So, like, these people gathered together and they built the tower, or they wanted to build this city, this tower, because they said, we need to do this so that we don't get scattered over the face of the whole earth. I think there's a human tendency, and not just the church's tendency. It's the church has a tendency because humans have a tendency to not want to go out of your comfort zone, to not want to go out and be away. When from Genesis, you showed us that God's design was for us to be scattered and fill the earth. And yet there's a human tendency, I think, a lot of times to say, no, let's stay in. It's safer. It's more comfortable. We know each other. This is good. And so I think that it's not like it's natural just for the church. I think it's natural for the church because it's natural for humans. Right? And I think that's something maybe what you're bringing our attention to is to like guard against. Because we all have that propensity, right? To like stay in, it's safe, it's better. I'd be more comfortable. Rather than fulfill like this greater thing that God has made me for.
Even what Nancy said, to not to experience all the things that God has had for us.
To enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Yeah. Anyone want to make a comment online about any of the verses? Anyone in this class want to comment? Okay. So think about those things, but I want to now show you a video, okay, that will be more practical and how we're supposed to, because, you know, we're talking about big ideas, right? We started with this big idea of God wanting us to fill the earth, to do it, enjoy it. But now how do we do it? Because we want to bring it to our lives too. And so let me share this video. Oh, can you make me a host?
What? Oh.
Okay, let me try this.
You know, when I think about God's heart for the world, I think about my wife and our marriage, and really, over the last 10 years, as I've fallen in love with her, I've began to love some of the things that she loves. And I've taken on the things that sort of orbit her heart. They began to be the things that orbit her heart. And we look at God's heart for the world. I think it's simply Christians looking and saying, God, if this is what you love, that's a big enough reason for me to begin to get involved.
For those coming out of a short-term mission experience, a Perspectives in the World Christian Movement course, or something like that, a lot of times we're just asking our questions, where do I go next?
Start out with learning. Man, before we can really be involved in God's heart for the world, we gotta be educated about it and learn about it, learn the needs in the world, and then learn about God's word and how he views missions.
You have to go in with it with a humble attitude almost and start all over. When I started taking Perspectives, I felt like a baby Christian all over again.
Praying, it's so simple, and we don't even think about the impact that we can have. But the Lord uses prayer to open doors that otherwise would not be opened by any other means.
We have the ability to take our petitions and put them at the feet of the living God, and he listens to them and he acts on them.
Who wouldn't want to be on the front lines of what the Lord is doing to the ends of the earth to spread his glory to all nations? And it's just us being used as instruments, as his hands and feet right on the front lines.
We've been teaching English, guitar, computers. Some other short-term teams have come in and taught karate, cooking.
Sending is just really saying, man, how can we be those people who are holding the rope for those people who are going out to the ends of the earth?
Sending care packages or even just writing letters. You feel as if you're there. I mean, you're not just on the periphery of giving money or seeing them every 4 years.
Welcoming internationals is just kind of taking advantage of the doors that the Lord has opened to just really reach the nations that are even right here. And just, we don't even have to go anywhere.
If I meet one person from another country and make them feel that there's one person in the United States that cared for them, that I feel like I've done exactly what God's asked me to do.
Mobilizing is just this idea of giving people a bigger vision to live their lives for and really helping them to understand what God's heart is so that they can kind of see what his heart is, what he's working for, and they can be working for that same thing themselves.
We're called to go and make him known among the nations. And so mobilization is a way that we can unleash that in people.
What's genius about boiling it down to these six ways is now it gives every believer very specific disciplines that they can begin to incorporate into their life.
The Lord is doing something that's amazing. He's writing a story that's huge.
And we're living out our obedience to Christ. And in so doing, the church, universal, capital C, is being built wherever that gospel's sown. That changes people. And plugging into the different ways to be a part of that begins the journey that really, you know, it's like the coming attractions.
Okay, so in a second, maybe we're going to break up into like groups of 2 to 3. Dan, can you help me with this for the online people? I think I can do it. But before we do that, let's review what were the six ways? What were the six ways?
Your
just shout it out. One.
Go, pray,
Okay, go like herbs.
Mobilize.
Send.
Learn.
Welcome.
Send.
Send. Okay, we have six ways. Okay, I'm going to quiz you next time. So remember the
next week.
Yes. So let's break up into groups of two to three and share something of those six ways. What caught your attention? Like, what did you resonate with? Okay. And let's just. So I'm going to say.
I think Daniel's doing it.
Oh, Daniel. Okay. So, online people, just hold on a second. I'll let. I expect to break up now, two to three, and just share for like about 10 minutes. All right, I think we're all back, so let's all gather together. Sorry to interrupt the conversation. Keep on talking about it. So the last thing I want to talk about is homework. Okay, so I'm going to give this, since it's a class, I'm going to give you homework, but it's not going to be like tiresome homework that you have to do all this book learning and reading. Okay, the homework I'm just going to ask you for, and next time we'll talk about it, is I want you to pray about at least one of the ways that you could be involved, and just start your prayer. It doesn't mean that you have to have an exact idea of what you think God wants you to do, but just start that conversation with God, okay? And to kind of, I don't want to say prove it, but I want you to write down your prayer, okay? So write it down either on your phone or write it down on pencil paper, like just like a few sentences, like 4 or 5 sentences, whatever you want to write. Write it down, and we're going to share that with, you're going to share that with someone in class next time. So I'm going to ask Pastor Alex to give maybe 10 minutes at the start of next week's class for you guys to share with a partner what you wrote down for the prayer, right? Okay. And don't, you know, next Sunday when it comes time to it and you go to click on the Zoom, like, don't be scared, like, if you didn't do the homework, like, still please come, you know, like, don't be like, oh, I forgot to do my homework, I'm not going to join, you know, don't, you know, just, you know, the homework, I'm not going to keep it count, I'm not going to give you, like, the bad mark or, like, a star to do it, you know, it's just, you know, it's more to keep us all accountable, because I think when we do things together that are hard, if we're left by ourselves, it's difficult, right? But if we actually come together and say we want to be faithful in this, and we can share with our partner or our neighbor, like, okay, this is how I was faithful with it, then it kind of spurs you on, even if you forgot to do it. Right? So let's do that. We'll make that a plan.
Is there a way to send a midweek reminder?
Reminder?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so does anyone want to close us in prayer, online or in person? Call on someone. Okay. Kevin, do you want to pray
for us? So, yeah, I just want to thank you for this morning, for just getting us together here to learn about missions and learn about your word, learning how to appreciate your goodness, and just learn how to go out and spill the earth and I just want to thank you for everything that you've done in our life. Praise you. Thank you. Pray for the rest of today, Lord. Bless it and enjoy.